Good morning. This morning's lesson text will be in Matthew 6, 19 through 21. And in a greater section of these scriptures on the Sermon of the Mount through 34, Jesus is really going to teach us where our heart is in our relationship to things we have, possessions, wealth, maybe not. This sermon is not just for rich people, people that have money, extra money to spend, but for poor, for us who do scrap sometimes in our lives. Jesus makes clear that anyone who is going to be in his kingdom needs to have a perspective, not so much of what they have here, but where their treasure truly lies. And he says, for where our treasure is, there our hearts will be also. So he's going to talk about the treasures in earth and in heaven, and that's where we'll be today. But he also talks about the healthy eye. And I might not preach on this, but the healthy eye and the unhealthy eye. And he's bringing this together, that because we can't, and again, going on in this message, Jesus preached firmly that we need to have our hearts in heaven. In fact, he gets strong and says, we can't serve two masters. Money or God. This is what he says. Money or God. And there's a balance to this. As Christians, some of us have a lot of money. In Timothy 6:1, it says, commend those in the faith who are rich, to be careful that they don't get entangled in their richness, and to give generously. But also, again, we can't exclude us who are struggling sometimes financially. We got to remember the woman that went to Jesus and she pitched in a couple copper coins. And people made fun of her. They said, all she's putting in the treasury, God, is a couple cents. What's that going to do for your kingdom? And Jesus said, this woman has done a great thing because she gave out of what she didn't have. And so we're always, as people of God, going to be tested by what we possess, what we have in this life, and what we do with it. And I want to make that point clear. So this isn't leaving anybody out of Jesus' message. In fact, he says in chapter 6, verses 19, he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I wanted to say that God is always after our hearts in all of what we do, from our days of repenting to turn to Him and come to Him, to what we are doing now with what we own. This was a serious message, because what we own and what we do with it shows God that we're with Him or we're against Him, that we're storing up for ourselves many good days ahead. Now, I'm not saying this, that Jesus doesn't want anyone to have anything. In fact, there will be rich and there will be poor. Jesus said, you'll always have the poor among you. You won't always have me. But he still says, follow me. The rich young fool, the ruler, he had everything. Jesus says, one thing you lack. So there's always going to be one thing in our lives that we may be lacking, that we have to be honest to God with. I do think a big test of that is our money and the things we possess and what we have. So Jesus says, do not do this. So we have 3 points. The fleeting treasures. And I want to drive home fleeting. Things that come and go. The treasures in heaven. Jesus says, store up treasures in heaven. How do we do that? How do we show God we're storing up treasures in heaven? And where your heart is, where is it found? You know, God, when He looks down from heaven, He looks down at each and every one of our hearts individually. We can come to church and we can be collectively claiming, but we have to look at ourselves in God's church individually of what we're doing and why we do what we do. This was always on the heart of Jesus on his sermon that he preached to the people that would be in his kingdom. Again, not going beyond this, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. He's not talking financially poor. He's talking about us knowing our need to desire to please God. We want to do what's right. Poor in spirit is to go after God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then you have the extremes of that where churches in Revelation 3, they said, we're rich. Jesus said, you say you're rich. You need nothing. You need nothing. They were saying, we don't even need anything. And so sometimes when people say, hey, let's read the Bible, oh, I'm all set. We can never be content with anything in this life and always have to go to God, showing God He's our Lord and Master. So do not store up treasures on earth. I mean, how many times have we may have read this or even heard it preached? But I really want us to think about what Jesus is saying. This is a command. This is the thing that's interesting about Jesus. It doesn't matter what man teaches unless it's God. But what I appreciate so much about Jesus' teaching is it is command. It's from God. We talk about obeying God's command. Well, this is where the rubber meets the road in our lives, because things tangible, it's such a temptation to find that security in those things around us. But if we were wiped out of everything, and you were just you, with just the clothes on your back, how would you respond? Jesus says, not to treasure things on the earth. Not to treasure things on the earth. The belongings that we can accumulate. He's not saying that accumulating anything is bad. The point he's saying is to, when we accumulate things, and in a kingdom perspective, what are we doing with them? I mean, if they're just in the closet and you know there's a need, are we willing to fork it out, so to speak, to give it to the next guy if somebody's really in need? And I think James talks about that. If we see a brother in need and we say, oh, wish you well, and walk away from him, how can the love of God be in us? So he does not want us to accumulate. He says what God taught Moses. He's just reiterating, you shall have no other gods before me. How many times have we seen people's things, possessions, and what they have their God? How many times have we been around people that boasted about what they had and what consumed them and what they chased after? Again, for where our treasure is, there our hearts will be also. Hearts of people are continually drawn away from God. When we read the Bible from the Old Testament to the New Testament, people's hearts get drawn away. And there's many passages. I could quote many, but I won't. And it does, interestingly, Jesus lays it out pretty clearly that ultimately everything that we possess will either be chewed up and smithereens gone or rust away. You know, I think about the things of today's world that man has created. Ultimately, nothing we have lasts forever. And so that's what he's saying. It's like, why are we doing this? Why do we store up these treasures on earth when he says, don't do it? Look what happens to it. There's no money. There's no materialism. There's no politics. People are so consumed with politics nowadays. I talk to so many people that claim to be Christians, and it's all about this country and the politics. There's no social media, and there's no technology that man ever comes up with, though there's some incredible things that have been created and built around this world, the seven wonders of the world. I mean, awesomeness, but it shouldn't be more of a devotion than to God. Nothing made should ever be more of a devotion to going to God and drawing to God. Amen. And whatever you do, and here's a small scripture in Colossians 3:17, Paul says to the Colossian church, and whatever you do, in word and deed. Do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And I think I want to say, this came to the idea of word and deed. What we say and what we do shows God who we put first in our lives. And a Christian always devotes himself to Jesus and everything. Word and deed. Are we talking about Jesus to people? Are we talking to each other about our great, awesome Lord and Savior? Not just on the Lord's Day, but during the week. Are we talking about God? Word and deed. Beyond any devotion to physical treasures. You can have a lot of treasures, but what are you doing with them? That's the point. And a proper attitude. This is point B of point one. Because we have to have a proper attitude of the things we do have. And one of them is handling the things we do have, the earthly possessions, with an eternal perspective. When you're a spiritual person, all of the stuff around you, you know it's going to go away. But you don't hold on to it so tight that you think you're going to die with it. Knowing all things here will pass. That's the idea. And we realize, and this is important, that possessions are entrusted by God. When we are true followers, searching out the things of God and storing up treasures in heaven, we honor God being stewards of Him. We're not owners of things. We don't own, yes, we own in some rights our homes and our cars. We are owners, but we're stewards of what we own in God's kingdom. That's the idea. The stewardness of what we have, of what we own. In Luke 16, the parable of the shrewd manager is an example of a steward. It teaches us that we give an account of what we manage before God. How we manage it, we're accountable to that before God. It's not what I'm doing for you to see or what you're doing for me to see. This is before God and how we present our lives before Him. And He says, rather than for personal greed, which, again, that's a temptation. 10 for me, 2 for you type of mindset sometimes. It's hard to really give generously. If you have $100 in your pocket, are you going to, and it's extra, say, and you go and you're driving by the poor people, what do you do with it? You say, they're drunks, they don't need my money, or do you really try to buy them a little food or something to eat? I'm just saying, this is where I believe Jesus is going here. Personal greed. We can become greedy. We use what we have to serve others. That's the idea of what Jesus is pointing out to us. We have what we have for other people, in a sense. And in the book of Acts, we can read that, chapters 2 through 4. No one claimed their possessions were their own. Now, am I going to let you come to my house and ransack it and I got nothing left to sit on? Probably not. But the idea is, if you need a chair, right, go to the next brother or sister and say, hey, can you help me out? I'm not saying we should be beggars of each other either, but I'm just saying no one claimed their possessions were their own. And it's so easy to go down that road of being greedy. For we, and then he says, for we brought nothing into the world, and neither can we carry anything out of it. And I think that's an important thought that Paul gives Timothy. He says, there's a lot of people that are trying to be rich, and they've pierced themselves with many griefs in doing so. But you stay strong, be in my word, and preach the truth, because there's going to be a day that whatever you've owned on this earth is going to go away, and you're going to go away. And that's why in James 4:14, and it reminds us that our own lives are a mist that appear for a little while, and it vanishes. This is it. This is it. And so not only are treasures on earth fleeting, because that's the key point, treasure, and this is an important point because people go down this road all the time. That's why Jesus emphasized talks a lot about money. In the book of Luke, it's all about where people put their monies and their trust and all. And he says, not only are the things around us going to be fleeting, but our own lives. We're going to flee. And so we only have this moment in life, where we are now, for the few short years we have. Some of us are getting really old, some of us are getting older, and life is fleeting along with the things around us. So the point I want to bring up is we have to get our hearts right with God now. It's today. Now is the day. Now is the day. We may not have tomorrow. A brother once said, nobody's guaranteed tomorrow, but everyone's guaranteed to die. So that's the strong point of Jesus' message. I believe that's what he's conveying. Don't do this. Don't store up treasures on earth. It's going to pass. But the encouragement and the other side of this, which Jesus always does, he gives us the improper and the proper motives for life. He says, treasures in heaven. In Hebrews 11, Abraham was commended for looking forward to a city that has foundation, whose designer and builder is God. And that's in chapter 11, verse 10 of Hebrews. And all the ancients were applauded as those who were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. I'm just saying this in the perspective of a heavenly treasure. They prioritized their faith and God's eternal promises over temporary comfort and possessions. It's in Hebrews, he's talking about their territory. They chose to give up all of that they could have had for a focus of going to heaven and being with God and doing it right. And the Bible says, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Isn't that encouraging? That not only is there a heavenly reward for not storing things up on this earth, but for storing it up in heaven, but we get to be with God, the creator of all things. We get to see him and be with him forever. And I want to emphasize this because I believe Jesus emphasized this. I believe Jesus said, yes, here's the wrong way to go. Here's the wrong path. But look what's on the other side if we follow him. And so he says, it's the mindset of heaven. In 1 Peter 1, 3 through 4, he says, it never fades, it never spoils, it never perishes. It never fades. Think about that. What we store up in heaven never will ever go away as to compared to what we store up here. It's incredibly freeing. You know, we think about being freed from sin, but isn't it amazingly freeing to understand and grasp that our citizenship is in heaven? When we think about storing up treasures in heaven, we have a place prepared for those who love them. No moth, no rust, no thief, and not even Satan himself can diminish our treasure in heaven. Riches in heaven, what we've stored up there, they're secured. Why we're even living here, that security is so important, because everything around us is fleeting. Remember, we have that hope. And where is your heart? Where it's found? Whatever we value most is our treasure. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I think if we can't see it in each other's lives, we sure believe God sees everything. And so how do we know it's with God? How do we know our heart's with God? Well, people say, I love God with all my heart. I do this, 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 and this. No, Jesus is saying, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What we value most dictates what's on our heart and what concerns us most. do we love God first? This is the idea of all of what Jesus teaches. Are we devoted to Him? Again, is my heart focused on these things? Storing up the right things. Because he says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Paul says in Philippians 4, he says, whatever is truth, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent and praiseworthy. And that's, he says, those are the things we're to store up. And so, thoughts of Jesus every day. You are consumed with loving Jesus. And again, when I think about this, I have it here on somewhere, but I think about, why do we store up treasures in heaven now? Because that's what Jesus is, our Savior. And He's coming back to deliver us to God. That's absolutely where we need our treasures laid up. We sing it. Our treasures are laid up beyond somewhere beyond the blue. We can't see it, but we believe. And so, we store up the right things. We read and meditate. How many times have we been told, as Christians, we need to read and meditate on the Word of God? Why? It endures forever. Why wouldn't we want to know what lasts forever? It's the Word of God. We're saved by the Word of God, and that's what lasts in us forever. And we think about storing up the right things. We think about the church, the souls, right? Because our bodies are going away like the fleeting treasures around us. The souls of saved brothers and sisters, men and women, we pray, we support them, and the giving of our means to others. This is what I believe Jesus is saying, that you're storing up treasures by meeting the needs of others. Don't ever neglect that. Love for one another. That was the theme last year, loving one another. And out of that overflow of the heart, we're able to help other people. In our relationship to God, storing up the right things. To think, it's so easy to just say, yeah, I believe in God, I go to church on the Lord's Day, I take the Lord's Supper, somehow, some way, may you save me, God. We have a relationship all the time with God. Because we've been saved through His blood, we have direct access to the Father. Don't ever not take advantage of that. Always draw yourselves close to God in prayer. And given our means, what we have, to just be givers. And again, we do have to be aligned with God. There's no doubt about that. And part of that is in Matthew 22, 37 through 40, where he says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. And the reason why I bring up the strength is because sometimes it takes all of what we have to show God we love Him. I love you, God, with all my heart. I love you, God, with all my soul. I love you with my mind. There's times we're just not always going to be in that mindset to do it. And that's why it takes all of what we have to seek the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So the invitation's simple. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do you want to be right with God? I ask that question. We want to be right with you, God. Well, it's shown by what we focus on. Loving God or loving the things around us. That's pretty much what we see here. And so God wants each of us to focus on things above because that's what Jesus is. And I had mentioned that. That's what Jesus is. Why wouldn't we focus on things above? Jesus is seated at God's right hand. He's looking down. And we either are in Him or we're not in Him. And I do believe this can be distractions. Jesus is going to come back. And no one knows when. We hear people talk about Jesus' return. You go on the internet. People have all kinds of ideas of when Jesus is coming back. They give you perfect dates He's coming back. Of course, the dates never happen, but That's why we believe he's going to return when no one knows, like a thief in the night. That's as best info as I can give you. But we need to be ready. We need to be ready if it's in our lifetime. Wow, we get to meet the Lord in the air. But even if we've died, we will meet the Lord in the air. But we got to be, I think the point of the invitation is, don't let yourselves be distracted by the things around us, the things we own, the possessions, any of that. That's what the key thought is in putting Jesus first, we have to focus on those things above. I don't know how you do it, but even if you're at work, think about the Lord. When you're at home, think about, Lord, what can I do to be a benefit to your kingdom? What can I do to help people know you? If there's if there's anyone here that is not following Jesus, or if you do believe you're following Jesus that is not a Christian, one must hear the word of Jesus. They must believe what the Bible teaches. They must repent. Turn from those things that at least you know of in your head aren't right before God. Maybe it's even fleeting treasures. Be baptized. Be immersed in water to wash your sins away, to come up a new life. If there's anyone here that is not born again, please come forward as we sing the invitation song.